This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Good afternoon. My name is Rahul Agarwal, one of the GU medical oncologists at UCSF. I hope that you have all enjoyed the meeting thus far, and I'm very sorry to not be there in person this year. We're going to look ahead to some of the promising new systemic treatments in development for patients with advanced prostate cancer. We're going to focus on two therapeutic strategies. One is to go after targets on the surface of the prostate cancer cell, and the other is to find new ways to target the testosterone or androgen receptor, which is central to prostate cancer growth. There are multiple new technologies to cancer the cell surface target, including antibody drug conjugates, next-generation immunotherapies, including T-cell engagers, and molecularly targeted radiation that goes beyond LUPSMA treatment. There are multiple promising cell surface targets in prostate cancer, as shown here in the blue circle. The furthest along in development is PSMA, which you have already heard about today. However, there are a number of other promising targets, including CD46, B7H3, STEAP1, TROP2, DLL3, KLK2, among others that are also promising targets in prostate cancer research. The factors that make these good targets are shown here, including a high degree of tumor expression with minimal expression in normal tissues, providing what we call a wide therapeutic index for drug development. Antibody drug conjugates can be thought of a type of precision chemotherapy. There are three main components: an antibody which binds to the prostate cancer surface target of interest, a linker, and a chemotherapy-like payload that is released within the cancer cell, as shown in the diagram on the right. The tumor-specific nature of these antibody-drug conjugates means that we can achieve much higher concentration of the payload within the cancer cell as compared with conventional chemotherapy. We are particularly excited about the target CD46, which was discovered in a research laboratory here at UCSF. This target is highly expressed in prostate cancer tissue with virtually absent expression in normal tissues of the body, as shown in the figure on the left. An antibody drug conjugate targeting CD46 has demonstrated impressive clinical activity in a recently completed phase 1 trial. In the figure on the bottom right, you are seeing the change in serum PSA for patients treated on this phase 1 study, with each column representing an individual patient. There are PSA declines noted in the majority of patients, including several with near complete normalization of their PSA levels. A phase 3 trial of this agent is due to start within the next several months. Bispecific T-cell engagers are another promising way to target the cancer cell surface. Essentially, this is a two-headed antibody with one binding to the cancer target and the other head binding to the T-cell, a key part of anti-tumor immunity. These bispecific antibodies can be further engineered to extend their circulation time, thereby lengthening the time interval between doses, and improve tolerability by masking their function until they reach the tumor, lessening the risk of systemic immune-related side effects. The first T-cell engager to demonstrate significant anti-tumor activity in prostate cancer was AMG-509, an agent targeting STEAP1. Shown here are preliminary data from the phase 1 trial presented at our ESMO European Oncology meeting last fall. The graph shows the percent change from baseline in the size of tumors, and as before, each column represents an individual patient. The majority of patients experienced significant shrinkage of their tumors, which was impressive given that these were fairly heavily pretreated patients who had received most of the standard of care therapies available for prostate cancer. There are now multiple phase 3 trials of AMG-509 that are due to launch in 2024. One of the highest risk subsets of advanced prostate cancer is neuroendocrine prostate cancer, or NEPC, which develops in approximately 10 to 15% of patients during the course of their therapy. NEPC responds well to chemotherapy, but frequently recurs, and there's a high unmet need to develop new therapies for this high-risk group of patients. DLL3 has emerged as a very promising cell surface target, which is expressed in about three-quarters of neuroendocrine prostate cancers, as shown in the figure on the right. We now have bispecific T-cell engagers targeting DLL3 that are in clinical trials and showing significant promise. One such agent, tarlatamab, demonstrated very impressive durable responses in small cell lung cancer, an analogous tumor type to NEPC, so much so that FDA approval is expected soon in this indication. In neuroendocrine prostate cancer specifically, we can see promising tumor shrinkage as shown in the figure on the right. And there are now multiple follow-on trials of DLL3 targeting T-cell engagers in neuroendocrine prostate cancer that are underway as well as in the planning stage. Another very promising treatment you have heard about today is LUPSMA, a type of targeted radioligand therapy. The success of LUPSMA has spawned a whole generation of follow-up compounds designed to further improve outcomes for patients. This includes agents with different radioisotopes than lutetium, including actinium-225 and lead-212, among others. In patients previously treated with LUPSMA, actinium-225 targeting PSMA radioligand therapy can lead to significant PSA declines in the majority of the patients, as shown in the recently published paper from the figure on the right. Radioligand therapies are also in development for targets beyond PSMA, including CD46, KLK2, and many others. Stay tuned as we are likely to start hearing about randomized phase 2-3 trial data with these agents within the next 12 to 18 months. Beyond cell surface targeting, there are multiple efforts underway to block testosterone or androgen receptor signaling, which continues to play a central role in driving prostate cancer growth despite the multiple androgen receptor targeted therapies already available, including abiraterone and enzalutamide. These novel methods to target the testosterone receptor and its pathway include drugs that cause direct protein degradation of the androgen receptor. This is depicted by the cartoon on the right showing linkage of the testosterone receptor to the protein degradation pathway within the cell. There are multiple first, second, and third generation androgen receptor degraders that are in clinical trial testing, including phase 3 studies. A second method is blocking testosterone production even upstream of where abiraterone works with the so-called CYP11 inhibitors that have shown some recent promise in phase 1-2 trials. MK-5684 is one such agent now in phase 3 testing. Finally, epigenetic therapies, which turn on and off the expression of genes linked to treatment resistance, are finally starting to show some promise, with multiple agents, including EZH2 and BRD4 bromodomain inhibitors, in randomized phase 2 and 3 studies, in combination with continued androgen receptor targeted therapy. Thus far, I've mostly spoken about the results of early phase 1, 2, and trial data. But reassuringly, many of these new agents are moving into phase 3 trials with the intent to gain FDA approval for use in prostate cancer. This selected list of current and planned phase 3 trials shown here is provided for your reference, and I'm happy to say that this list keeps growing month by month. The pace of FDA drug approvals in prostate cancer is shown here, and this has picked up considerably in the past decade. And I would forecast an even greater pace for the next 5 years and beyond. I hope that we can look upon this current period as a true inflection point in prostate cancer drug development, where we are finally starting to harness the new technologies of immunotherapy and radioligand therapy to achieve better outcomes for our patients with far less side effects. And with that, I want to thank you very much for your attention. I especially want to thank our patients, their families and advocates, and our entire prostate cancer community for providing such tremendous support to our program. We're deeply appreciative and we look forward to continuing to stay engaged with all of you. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the meeting.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.